Greetings, saints. Our reading is Luke 8:40-42a and 49-56 TPT. When Jesus returned to Galilee, the crowds were overjoyed, for they had been waiting for him to arrive. Just then, a man named Jairus, the leader of the local Jewish congregation, fell before Jesus' feet. He desperately begged him to come and heal his 12-year-old daughter, his only child, because she was at the point of death. Then there's the interruption with the woman with the issue of blood, and then we carry on. While Jesus was still speaking to the woman, someone came from Jairus' house and told him, "There's no need to bother the master any further. Your daughter has passed away. She's gone." When Jesus heard this, he turned to Jairus and said, "Don't yield to your fear. Have faith in me, and she will live again." When they arrived at the house, Jesus allowed only Peter, John, and Jacob, along with the child's parents, to go inside. Jesus told those left outside who were sobbing and wailing with grief, "Stop crying. She is not dead. She's just asleep and must be awakened." They laughed at him, knowing for certain that she had died. Jesus approached the body, took the girl by her hand, and called out with a loud voice, "My sleeping child, awake, rise up." Instantly her spirit returned to her body, and she stood up. Jesus directed her stunned parents to give her something to eat, and ordered them to tell no one what just happened. Now, if she had been at the point of death, I'm sure she'd been ill for a while before that, and when you're that ill, you don't eat much. Hardly drink, maybe very thin soup or something. But yeah, she must have been rather hungry by the time she came back from the dead. So the parents were so overjoyed and stunned and amazed that she was alive again that they probably didn't think of about how hungry she was. So Jesus just pointed that out to them, and then she got some food. Of course, this was fairly early on in Jesus' ministry, so he wasn't quite as famous as he was going to become, so he did ask them not to tell anyone about it. But yeah, that didn't last long, and then everybody knew who he was, and he had to go out into the wilderness to get a quiet place to spend in prayer with his father. Another instance of raising the dead happened in John 11, verse 1-16, NKJV. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." Now, a lot of people refer to Thomas as Doubting Thomas, but in my opinion, he's actually Brave Thomas, because he spoke the words, agreeing to go with Jesus to Jerusalem, even though that was where the Jews tried to kill Jesus by stoning him to death. Of course, that was when it was not Jesus' time yet, and therefore they were not allowed to stone him, and he was rescued from that situation. Can't remember if it's the one where he passed through the crowd, or if it was a different one, but yeah, whenever the devil tried to kill Jesus, before it was his time, he did not succeed. It was only on the cross
where Jesus chose to lay down his life, that the devil thought he'd got it right to eventually kill him. But he didn't actually get it right, because if the devil and the demons had known the outcome of the cross, they would not have incited the crowd to cry out, "Crucify him," because they would have realized that that was their defeat. But because they did not know that, they thought it was their victory, but they were dead wrong. Now, people rising from the dead didn't only happen in the New Testament. It happened also in 1 Kings 17, verse 17 to 24, NKJV. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house, and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." If you look earlier in that same chapter of 1 Kings 17, you find out that that is the widow who was going to bake a last loaf of bread and her son and herself were going to die of starvation. But Elijah asked her for a portion of that last baking, and she did so, and the oil and flour never ran out. And so it was this widow who was the vessel of Elijah's safety during the drought years, even though she was the most unlikely person to offer such rescue because she herself was destitute. And when the child died, then she thought it was a cruel joke on God's part. But it was not. It was to show her that God's word is true, and Elijah was speaking God's true words. Another instance of being raised from the dead is in Acts 20, verse 7 to 12, in KJV. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. So here we see a case where somebody had fallen asleep in the window, and fallen three stories to their death, and been brought back to life by the prayer of a man of God. I saw a video a while back, I think it was called the Lazarus Phenomenon, where people have come back from the dead. And one of them was a young man who was quite a reprobate, and he went diving, I think it could be scuba diving, I don't remember now. But anyway, he was in the sea and he got stung by box jellyfish. And on the way out, he got stung by some more box jellyfish, and eventually I think he had about four or five stings from this highly venomous box jellyfish, and he died while he was dying in the ambulance. And he remembered the Lord's Prayer, and he was saying the Lord's Prayer, and that prayer is what God used to bring him to salvation, because of that line that says, "Forgive me as I forgive those that trespass against him." And when he was coming up from the beach, there was somebody that refused to help him, and he was so angry with that person that refused to help him, and he carried on trying to get help, and he was lying in the ambulance thinking about that guy that didn't help him. And God said, "But you've got to forgive that guy," and he did forgive him, and then he actually gave his life to Christ. And he thought, well, you know, this is it, I'm with Jesus, he's beautiful, he's loving, I don't want to go anywhere else. And Jesus said, but is there anybody who loves you? And he said, no, there's nobody. I've got no wife, no girlfriend, no anybody, no family. And he said, what about your mom? And the young man said, yeah, my mom loves me. And that's why he came back from the dead, to tell his mom that he had turned to Christ, because if he had died in that ambulance, she would not have known where he was spending eternity.
Sure, so as a mother, I can relate to that feeling of not knowing where your loved one is. And even when my husband was dying in hospital, apart from the time when he did the salvation prayer with me, when he was so painful he said he wished he could die, and I said, no, but you'll hit the wrong place. So he did the salvation prayer with me that night, but a few weeks before he passed, he actually did a salvation prayer again with a member of my church. I was part of New Life Church at the time in God's Province, and they went visiting in that hospital, and he was one of the people they visited. And he said the salvation prayer again with this woman who was actually a friend of mine, and she told me about it afterwards as a testimony. And I was so relieved, because it had been a while since he did the prayer with me, and I wasn't sure if he'd still stayed close to God. And that second commitment to give his life to Christ was such a comfort to me, because I know where he's spending eternity. And when I was visiting him in hospital with my son and my mom-in-law, we spoke of forgiveness, and I forgave him and he forgave me for the difficult marriage that we had. And that just also showed me that he was living his last few days or weeks on this planet in God's kingdom through God's love and mercy. So yes, this is a story about coming back to life on planet Earth. But in the end, each one of us dies unless we are alive at the time of Jesus' return. And we will spend eternity either with him or without him, either in his beautiful presence, seeing his loving face, or in a cold, dark, painful, horrible place. So we need to choose wisely now, while we have breath in our lungs, so that we can serve him, love him, adore him, praise him, worship him, and shine his light the rest of our days. So shine your lights.